It's turbo time.
Watching Home Improvement and building Space Marines. Dude, Home Improvement is awesome.
Home Improvement's sick. I've been watching a lot of My Name Is Earl, as I've told you about.
Yeah, you've been talking about it.
Very solid.
Yeah.
We got our first. You're listening to Cocked.
Welcome to Cocked. We got boys in the house.
Our first guest. Welcome.
Say hello, dude.
Hi. Should I say my name before you guys say yours?
I mean, like, we don't gotta say any name. Well, maybe you should say your name.
I should say my name. Yeah, I'm Thomas. I'm here as the first guest.
Yeah, I'm Campbell. I'm here as the first host.
I'm Connor. I'm gonna shit talk on board games today. I'm gonna play video. Yeah, you came up with this.
Well,
conceit.
I feel like this podcast of tabletop appreciation and theory. We've actively neglected and in some cases diminished the role of, you know, a game that is played on a tabletop. Like board games, you know, we don't count board games kind of canonically.
I'm just not into them that much.
I will, like, you guys have touched on board games in previous episodes.
Yeah. We've,
and you've said more good things than negative.
I think touched on is generous.
This entire bit just came from me. Yeah. Being like, I don't want to talk about board games in the first episode, but like, well, they're good.
In the first episode, you laid down the law and you're like, no, we're not. This is a subject we're not touching. And then you've brought up in like later episodes, you're like, oh yeah, this board game was like pretty dope. And I played this one a lot and it was great.
Yeah, they're all, like, my favorite game in the world might be Diplomacy. I think it's the most perfect, like, the idea, like the platonic idea of like a game, it like uses the medium in a way that I think is like actually beautiful. Like, I think it does so much with so little. So that's like my bar of like,
we wanted to bring you in, Thomas, as our the guy that I know who board games the most.
Oh yeah.
So what I want to I think like touch on first before we get into the nitty-gritty is I want to know, like, for you, why board games? Why, yes, we like board games.
Yeah.
And for you, Connor, why no board games? And I, like, this isn't meant to be like a pitting the two of you against each other.
Oh no, dude, I said it. I'm playing the heel.
You're playing the heel, yeah. Yeah. But like,
I came into this understanding who my opponent was.
So yeah, I don't know, Thomas. Like, brief history.
Tell the people on board games.
Yeah, tell us. And so, like, some of your favorites, some of your likes and dislikes.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, to me, like, if you don't like board games, you don't like board games. That's fine. But I definitely think if you're someone who enjoys Warhammer, TTRPGs, that sort of social aspect of like a tabletop game, getting together with friends, then like board games fit into that sort of sphere. For me, like, I enjoy board games because of the strategy involved. It's like you are trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way I can optimize turns? What's the best way that I can like make this character work and figure out a way of getting like the most points over my opponents? And then there's like a very much the social aspect as there is in the other ones, where you're like hanging out with friends, playing a board game, all trying, like, chatting, playing that same game. It's that social space and it still like fits.
It's min-maxy, though.
That's like, I was just going to say, like, that's like board game is min-max. You don't, there's no...
Well, it depends on the type of game you're playing. No, so...
You have no honor.
Those Space Marines.
Like, yes, you can go super min-maxy into it. And, like, there are some games where if you make a mistake in the first two or three turns, you've lost for the rest of the game. And that is an aspect of it. And that is like for sure a mark, like a knock against it, where it's like, okay, like if you are somebody who's coming into the space playing against people who have played before and understand the game, you're gonna lose. But I would argue that that's the same in sort of any game. Like,
well, because like yes, because every board game interaction, most board game interactions I have go like this. There's one person, and I've been this person, who's like, I want to fucking play this game.
Yeah,
everybody come over and play this game, and everyone's like, that sounds fun. And then you as the person who's interested, who have just been reading the rule book for like 3 weeks, just fucking curb stomp everybody. And they're like, this sucks. And like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're, whereas like for like minis, you know, you spend months building and painting your dudes, and you're also like reading the rule book and all. So you come and it's like, you know, you got like an understanding.
There's there's an element. I think my biggest. We'll start off just. Yeah, I don't want this to be like you and me against Thomas.
Yeah.
But I do think that like my general aversion to board games, when faced with the choice of like, would I want to play a board game or do a tabletop RPG or play like a war game?
Yeah, it's also like it's not a debate.
But it's like my big thing is like it is kind of like the rule where it's like, oh man, I'm gonna come over and play this board game, but the first like 45 minutes is gonna be me reading a 45 page manual of like the turn and what all of the tokens mean.
Yeah, like I
there's like kind of a learning curve. Every time you pick up a board game, there's a thing of like, which for someone who is a board game enthusiast might be half the
fun. But it must be like when you got like a bunch of dudes, people who are like all into board gaming regularly, they must be able to pick up games quickly, right?
Exactly. It's one of those things like, because to me, I could have the same argument for, I don't play Warhammer, I could have the same argument where it's like, oh, I'm going to go play this game and it's going to take me 20 minutes, 30 minutes to learn how
my
pieces work.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's that same sort of expectation. But once you've sort of played, like, there are many different board games, but they all fit into, like, similar categories.
Right.
So if you're playing a board game that's, like, a deck builder, even if you've never played the game before, you're like, okay, my goal this
game
is
a deck builder? Is like Dominion?
Dominion.
Okay.
Dominion is absolutely a deck builder. So it's, like, everyone
starts
off.
That's a great game.
I
love that game.
It's fantastic. So, like, deck builder would be like everyone starts out with the exact same, let's say, 10 cards, and through the process of the game you're trying to make a better deck. So you're, whatever the mechanics in the game, you're picking up better cards so that in your next turn when you draw whatever your 5 card hand, you've got a hand that can do more than your opponent's.
Yeah.
And you can add other rules, you can flavor it different ways, but once you understand the general concept of this game, I want to build a good deck, then it's that everything else is picked up as fast.
Okay. Right. It's like it's Crazy Eights. You're trying to get rid of cards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
An objective.
Are card games tabletop games? Does poker count? You play that on a tabletop.
But I guess like beer pong is.
Oh, dude, are we going to have to talk to somebody about Magic the Gathering at some point in this podcast?
Oh, man. Well, okay. Magic is a really fun game. Like the core mechanics are like very, very fun. But the game, like the whole thing is like so lame and like expensive. Yeah. Also, like I keep getting distracted by the lizard.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm lizard sitting right now. There's a lizard here.
So sick.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the other thing is that like in terms of board games is like there are some games that are like more like and it's not necessarily like games that are like super super rules heavy or very rules light. I've played games that have like very simple mechanics that I don't like. I've played games with like insanely complex long form 8-hour game mechanics that I really like. I do think that it's a thing where it's like for me maybe this is more of like a personal preference, but it's like board games that I can get into are like a little bit more narrative driven as opposed
like
to
an abstracted like when we played
Twilight Imperium's great.
It's just like even this is something that only this game can do.
What's the one
you mean? It's not like we're trying to win
the game that I played with you, Thomas, where we play like the spirits of the island trying to kill conquistadors.
Yeah. So I was going to bring
that up. That game fucking rocks.
You hit the title. It is Spirit Island.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
And like that's so to me the best board games out there, they choose a theme and then they hit it really well, and as you're playing you're like, this is matching the theme that was like set out for it.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention as well, like what's nice about something like Spirit Island is it is a cooperative game. Everyone's working together against the board itself, the game itself. And so it's one where
I love when games are like playing against the game.
Yeah.
Like an analog computer game.
Yeah.
Almost. It's so cool.
Like, what's that zombie one? The
Last Night on Earth?
That one's really fun as of a like collaborative and again, like with a narrative.
Yeah.
Fairly simple game mechanics. I think for me where it gets like I hear people talking about Wingspan. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The Bird. That game stinks.
What is this? Is this like a...
You just get points for seeing... For like not... It's like a... It's a bird watching the board game.
Dude, when you go to like a game store and you're like...
Yeah.
You know, for cool minis. And then you look at the board game area and you're like, how is there so many... Like, there's fucking thousands of them.
Yeah.
And like, I know the industry is like profitable.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how can it... Like, it must be doing better than like books.
Yeah. You know?
The thing is, like, yeah, definitely with board games, you can go into a board game store and be like, holy shit, there's, where do I start?
It's like science class, the game.
Yeah.
And like, so for me, as I was getting more and more into board games, my best resource was Board Game Geek, where it's like, here are user rated and like review generated. Here are the best board games out there on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of go in and be like, which one sounds interesting to me? So there was like a recent game that I picked up within the last year is a Lord of the Rings board game, and it fits the theme super well.
Oh, is that the procedurally generated one?
No, it's not. It's not. I don't think it's the procedurally generated one. It's War of the Ring, and it's really optimized for two people playing against each other. One person's the free people. One person.
It's like a strategic level, like. It's a
war game, essentially. So you build, like, if you are the armies of Sauron, you are building your troops up and you are trying to take as many free people cities as possible. Mm-hmm. If you are the free peoples, you are trying to get the ring to Mordor, or you could win with like a strategic victory. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about theme, to me it hits the theme really well. Anytime I've played the game, the big sort of turning point fights happen in the places you want them to happen. They're happening in Minas Tirith. They're happening like, Did Saruman push everyone back? Did like Orthanc fall? It really hits. The game is designed in a way that it's hitting those same thematic.
I think it's a different game, but there used to be one that was essentially the same thing, but it was more than two people. It was a War of the Ring game, but it does like, because that is, it did a similar thing where like it uses mechanics to hit the theme where it's like, if you're Mordor, you have like overwhelming force, but you lack the ring, and you're always trying to like, and you can like, you know, cast people's, but you're like, you're always trying to find the ring. It's like, fuck, I can't get it. Whereas like, if you're the free people, it's like you're holding on for dear life all the time, but you got the ring and like, you know where it is. And like, it was like, yeah, it's
100%. And that's sort of like that's what I like about these like sorts of games. And which is why I brought up like Board Game Geek, is I was like, where's a good board game that's like, I want sort of like a fantasy, really thematic fantasy game, and that fits like a two-player, one-on-one sort of scenario. Mm-hmm. And this one was like, it's in the top, whatever, 20 games. It fits the bills, and it plays great. And then hitting that theme, just like an easy mechanic to hit that theme is like, if you're playing as like Sauron's army, if you lose a troop, that's fine. They're expendable. You can create more as much as you want. If you're playing the free people, you have a finite amount of tokens. So every time you lose an elf or a dwarf, they are gone from the game for the rest of the game. You cannot reproduce soldiers at the same rate as the Dark Army.
So like you were saying, you don't really do like tabletop war games, like Warhammer kind of stuff, like you and I did when we were kids.
Yeah
Got into that together, but I've played hella D&D with you.
Yes.
And I think generally speaking, like, I do think that like the pen and paper tabletop role playing game is kind of like for me, the epitome of game. I think it's just like such a perfect format where it's like very nebulous and you can do a lot of
it
things.
It is the game. Like when you're like, as a DM, you're like, this is like, you talk about your game. Like,
yeah.
This is like, my game goes like this.
Yeah.
Like, these are the people in my game.
And it's not
100%.
Not specific to a system, but just like the general concept of tabletop. Pen and paper role playing games. So like, how does, what, as someone who like does, you know, like we play D&D, we've played Edge of the Empire, like that kind of stuff, where's the overlap for you, or like what itch do board games scratch that like a tabletop RPG doesn't, or like where do you find the
I guess to me the biggest difference, I mean, part of it is like most of my D&D is I'm DMing.
Right.
So like I'm playing a game, but I'm creating the story. It's a different experience, DM and player.
We got a couple of good episodes you should check out with some tips on that.
Oh yeah. But it's like that sort of a different experience. When I come to like a board game, it's more so like, okay, I'm trying to win this game. And like, there's no winning in D&D. If you're trying to win D&D, you are playing the game wrong and you're making the experience shitty for everyone at the table.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So it's like with board games, like there is a goal, there is winning. And then to me, a lot of what I enjoy about board games is, okay, here are the rules, here are the constraints, and there might be a lot of them. And I enjoy board games that are really crunchy, really rules heavy. And so like, okay, you've laid down how this game works. How can I optimize this? How can I find the best strategy? How can I do the best and like create a engine or a system that works really well for me? And to me, that's something that D&D doesn't really give, because if you are trying to like optimize your character, people are like, you're min-maxing and you're making the game crummy for everyone else.
It's totally that, like, the crunch is kind of like is something that you can do in tabletop role-playing games, but it makes you an asshole.
100%.
Yeah.
And like, so you brought up like Wingspan and you're like, this seems like a crummy game about like bird watching.
Wingspan for me is that there's no narrative element to it.
The theme is important. Like, I fucking hate Catan, even though like, like
Catan's a bad game.
I agree. But like, mechanically it's a bad game. Why is it bad?
Catan's a bad game because it's, there's no strategy. It is all random luck of the dice.
Thank you, dude.
For me, board games are better when they minimize the luck as much as possible, and you can optimize your game and your strategy, and you're not like, well, I have a great roll. Like, if in Catan, you can be like, well, I chose the cities that are closest to the highest dots, so I've got lots of sixes, I've got lots of fives, but I rolled a double one, and someone who decided to choose a two like an idiot is getting points on my turn, and now I can't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, I fucking hate Catan. People are always like, you don't see it so much anymore, but there was like a period like four years ago where motherfuckers were playing Catan. Yeah.
I used to work with someone who would go to Snakes and Lattes and play Catan competitively. There was like full on in Toronto there used to be like a Catan league and a Carcassonne league, and you could play both of those games competitively.
There's still competitive like Catan whatever leagues tournaments. It's not a good game I used to play Catan years ago, like weekly, and to me why Catan got so popular is people were like, I'm bored of Monopoly, I'm bored of life and sorry, and this is giving me a board game that's
doing you mean the game life.
But yeah, it's like people are like, I'm tired of these board games, and Catan's giving me something new in a board game form. And like, to me, that's a gateway game. If people play Catan and they're like, I like this more than other board games, or there's something here that I enjoy, then it's like, great, look at these better games that do this in a better way or in a tighter way.
Which is almost kind of like things that we've talked about in the past, where it's like Catan is almost kind of the like Dungeons and Dragons of the board game world, where it's like, you like this genre of thing and you like having fun doing this, and this is a very good, like, maybe not a great, I would argue that like D&D is a better role-playing game system than Catan is a board game, but both are sort of like overarching, somewhat flawed entry-level things to like exploring other systems and playing other kind of...
You ever play like, you know, you go like Meeple Mart and there's like the war game section? That's like heavy, like not like minis like Warhammer or Flames of War, but like it's like a whole ass game that some fucking ancient 65-year-old white dude made about like the Battle of Cannae. I'm like nobody will ever play this with me, but I want to play them so bad.
I know exactly what you mean. So yeah, there are those games like that, and I haven't played many of those games because it's honestly a style of game that I'm not as interested in. Like, there's, at this point in time, there's like two big different types of board games. Like, it's either like, there's a lot of different types. There's whatever. Like, I already mentioned deck building. And
shoot, man. Shoot on board game culture right
now. Dunk
on
these motherfuckers.
Yeah. Let's go.
This is a side of nerddom that I do not understand.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm not like, so there's like Euro games or like Germany style games that are very much like, they minimize player interaction.
What the fuck?
This is really funny. I read about this on Wikipedia one time and I was like,
I didn't realize there were nationalities of board games. This is crazy.
There's two. There's like Euro games and like American style games.
Okay.
Or,
what's a give me a Euro game that I would know.
Like, so like a Euro style game would be, I mean, I think I made you play Terra Mystica once before.
Yeah. You gotta build That's like Catan for adults, right?
It's like it's better Catan.
Yeah, okay.
So like a Euro style game.
There were a lot of like purple dots resource management shit with that. Like
there you go. You hit it on the head. Like Euro style game is like resource management. It's not like it's not like you're going to lose the game and everyone else is going to keep playing while you sit at the table. It's everyone is, there's a goal in mind. There's probably a set. There's whatever, 6 rounds, 10 rounds. You are fighting for like resources, but you're not, the player interaction isn't like Risk, where I'm going to fight you in Australia and kick you out of this territory.
Okay.
Whereas like an American style game would be Twilight Imperium. It is, you are.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. USA.
So it's like, it's a game where it's like, you are, it's
fucking wood gathering Euro fucks.
It's fucking great. Yeah, it's, you are, it's more like one-on-one fighting. A player might lose and everyone else plays without them. There's no right. end to the game. A Risk game could go for like 3 days because yeah. someone's holed up in Australia.
Okay.
That's sort of like, that would be the biggest difference. So I'm more towards, to me, I like the Euro style game a bit more because Coward. it's just more, it's more about that optimization and more about like I can sit at the table and I can be like, you had a really great turn. Mm. And like, you can be like, it's not like necessarily collaborative. Like I still want to beat you, but I can see you do a move and I'm like, you blocked me in that space, but like, fuck that, you had a great turn. And like, yeah. that's sort of like, to me, the social aspect that I like, where it's like, we're all trying to like play the best game possible. We're vying for the same resources and that's where the interaction is. So it's not going to be like Catan where you're like, you build in that spot and you're taking my fucking weed and like, I don't like this. Or like a Twilight Imperium where it's like, cool, I've got this army and fuck, you're fighting me and I just got wiped off the board.
Right.
Which is still a fun game. I love Twilight Imperium. I like those style games. But to me, it's more of that like, how can we all do the best with what we have? Who can yeah. do like the most on their turn and like who can put together like the coolest sort of engine that they're able to like, okay, well, I'm going to do this one action. And now because I've optimized, it's going to give me this, 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 and this. And I've right. done the most with my one action turn.
So is diplomacy. So diplomacy is an American style game.
I believe so. Yeah.
Because one person can get kicked out.
Yeah. Like, diplomacy, because if I remember of diplomacy correctly, like one of your actions you can do is to fight another people's like troops.
Yeah,
that would be more of like American stuff.
Okay,
very much like one-on-one, I'm gonna fight you in this area.
What's I don't want this to just devolve.
How about Ticket to Ride?
I was just gonna ask about Ticket to Ride.
My girlfriend loves that Ticket to Ride. My girlfriend loves that game so much.
I played Ticket to Ride with your girlfriend, and we had a great time. All right, it was lovely. I went to Prague.
The game stinks, dude. I was like, why can't I simply invade Prague and seize the railroad?
I don't care that you built your railway on these tracks. I will make my own tracks.
1914. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't want this to devolve into us naming board games and Thomas just telling us what country they come from.
Well, and the thing, like, but that's, like, I'm big into board games, but there's a level of that I'm not into, which is, like, very much like, here's this category, here's this class, here's
right.
this class.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, even going into it, like, there's some game, like, Dominion would be a deck-building game. It wouldn't be either of those two styles.
Yeah.
So, like, a Ticket to Ride, I don't know, I would say it's, like, a family game. Ticket to Ride to me is, like, another good, like, entry game, where it's, like, you go into the game, like, it's maybe got, like, elements of fighting for the same resources. So it has Euro-style elements where it's, like, only one person can build on this line.
Yeah.
It maybe is a drafting game because you're drafting different cards.
Oh, drafting. Shit. Okay. This is a new type of game.
I fucking hate Ticket to Ride so much. Sorry. As you're naming mechanics, I'm like, oh, that one stinks too.
Ticket to Ride, it's another game where it's, like, it's fun. But, like, it's not, like, it's fun to play. It's, like, a 20-minute game. It's easy to learn. Fantastic. But you could be doing, like, there's so much more you could be getting out of a board game than, like, Ticket to Ride.
So, okay. So, board game shit. I was thinking about this. Like, every year there are new, more complex, insane board games.
Oh, well, I was thinking, like, when do you decide to let one go? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I know what, like, in terms of, like, which game do you're like, oh, I don't want to play that one anymore.
Like, because you have to hold, like, physically keep them in your house,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
So, like, when are you like, this one's time for this one to go, I'm going to shoot it in the backyard kind of thing?
That has not happened yet. It's, to me, it's like, it's a collection. I'm going to add.
Interesting. See, this is why in the first episode why I was like, I had to let go of, like, because, like, board games are sick. Like, they're awesome. But I can't be a mini gamer, war gamer, and a board gamer at the same time, because it's just like physically demand.
So that's to me, that's the thing. Like, you can, there's definitely ways of like, oh, I haven't picked up this game in months, like I want to get rid of it, or I don't care for it as much. And I've got like one or two games that like I haven't, like I have Dominion, I haven't touched that in a couple years. So if I was to like trim down the collection, I would probably drop Dominion. But it's a great game. If I have family over and they don't want to learn a game, I'm going to pull out Dominion.
Invite me over to play Dominion, dude.
There are better games than Dominion.
I'm
telling you right now, if you like Dune Imperium is a game that you would enjoy.
That sounds really good.
Dune game. There's a lot of Dune games.
Damn, the lizard just fucking moved.
Dune Imperium is great. Dune Imperium is a deck building game similar to like Dominion, where like everyone starts with the same deck and you're trying to get as many cards as possible.
Yeah.
But it brings in a bunch of different elements. So it brings in some like worker placement elements where I'm going to send my this card allows me to send a worker here to get these resources. Mm-hmm. This card lets me send a worker here to get this. And it has added bonuses.
I'm slowly realizing that the only games I like are like ones with maps and armies. Because like when I heard Dune Imperium, I was like, oh fuck, a whole Imperium? And then you're like, it's a deck builder. And I was like, oh fuck.
You're just like, oh yeah, can we just play Dune Risk?
Yeah, exactly.
There are, that's why I said Dune Imperium, because there's like, there are many Dune board games. And like, I have not played the board game that is just Dune. But I think that fits the bill of what you want, where it's like you are fighting for the universe. You're fighting for planets and places. In the
Yeah, universe. Maybe I just want to play Twilight Imperium again.
An endless jihad across my kitchen
table. Yeah, exactly. Dude, we should play Twilight Imperium again. That was fucking awesome, dude. Again.
So the other thing I was thinking about is like, when you're playing Dungeons and Dragons or you're playing Warhammer or whatever, there's always kind of a conversation about like, these are games that have existed for, you know, decades and have gone through multiple editions and different eras of quality of miniature production or like general tone to the game or like rule sets or whatever. Whereas I feel like with board games, it's not a thing where you're like, nobody's talking about like, oh man, like Twilight.
Oh, they released it.
Twilight Imperium second edition was like, is that a thing? Or like,
well, that's totally a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Twilight Imperium you can buy right now is the fourth edition.
Okay. But is there, within the Twilight Imperium community at large, are there people who
Axis
are like,
and Allies, we're like, still playing? There's been like, a couple of editions and like,
yeah,
the ones that have the more, like they tweak the geography of the map to make to make the gameplay better.
But are there communities of people who are like, we're just playing like Twilight Imperium second edition because that's like the edition that we like, in the same way that you could go and find someone who's playing like D&D 3.5 instead of fucking D&D 1.
So there maybe, I don't like, there might be someone who's like, I prefer this edition over this edition.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say, what board games do that's slightly like, it's similar to D&D where they'll keep releasing like books and like modules, whereas like board games will come out with different expansions. But some of those expansions will do the same thing as a new edition. So you'll come out with a new expansion. Mm-hmm. Here's a new, we realized that the first board wasn't as balanced. So this expansion will give you a couple other mechanics and a more balanced board.
Okay.
So it's less so that people will be like, I'm going to play older editions, because when a new edition comes out, it's normally built off of the back of community reception being like, this game was broken in this way, or this character or board was broken, so we're going to fix this with an expansion or a new edition.
But that's almost like, that's less to me, like in terms of like, if we're talking like 40K,
yeah,
that's like not what like a new edition is. That's more like a supplement or like a patch,
because the game is the game.
The game is the games, game, right? Like, you still like,
yeah, even like, yeah, D&D,
well, it's just like it's like when Games Workshop puts out like an FAQ. And it's just like, oh, we're like fixing this thing, or we're adding this thing, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. So like, yeah, like that's cool. And that's cool. But like, I was thinking like, is there more of a thing where it's like, for like, I appreciate in terms of like Warhammer or whatever, rule sets and shit aside, I'm like, model wise and like just general aesthetic and tone wise, I prefer like 80s to 90s is kind of like my sweet spot. Is there a thing where people are like, oh, you know, like you got to go back to those classic board games that they were putting out in the 70s, or like, you know,
it's hard to I would say it's hard to say, because to me, like the board game sort of like boom,
right,
doesn't have that history to it.
Yeah.
Like I would say like Settlers of Catan, when it sort of came out, was like, oh, there's a different way. there's a different sort of way of like designing a board game. So it's not like someone's going to be like, oh, I'm going to go back to the 90s and play the first Catan. It's like, oh, I'm going to go back to the early 2000s and play Catan.
Yeah. And that, I guess that is true. Like, it is a recent kind of like, in terms of like conceptualizing it as a hobby.
Yeah.
Because I do think that like when people were like board gamers, they were playing those like Avalon Hill like war games that I was just talking about. Like, they weren't like, you know, it was completely different.
Or it was just like family, like Monopoly or fucking whatever. There wasn't like board gaming as a hobby. Yeah. Newer, and I think that's the thing, is that like one of the things that I appreciate so much about tabletop role-playing games, miniature wargaming, is that you can go back and there's like a very lush, cool history. Like there is like the fictional lore of the game, but there is also like an actual lore of the history.
Yeah, it's so awesome, dude.
Which rocks. It's like
so great.
Milton Bradley never commissioned Bolt Thrower to put out an album, 100%, you know?
Yeah.
Games Workshop
those
did.
Those fucking coward pussies, yeah.
Like,
I think there's a degree where like, I think games, board games are sort of, some people are sort of going in that direction. Like there was, so I mentioned Terra Mystica, which is like very sort of like a fantasy theme, those very classic sort of fantasy type races. And then they took that system and they released a new game called Gaia Project, and it's space. So instead of, you're now colonizing different places in space, and it's more like space themes, and there's robots and there's different things like that, which you could sort of be like, similar to like 40K, how it's like, okay, we're gonna do like our fantasy sort of like older, you can be like the rat people in 40K, or now you can be like the Tau and the orcs, and those are like different systems.
There's no rat people in 40K.
You're fucking embarrassing yourself.
The Skaven are only in Warhammer Fantasy Battle or Age of Sigmar, as it's known.
But that's sort of what I mean, it's all based on sort of like the same idea, the same mechanics, but it's like, here's like Age of Sigmar and here's like 40K.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I mean, where it's like Terra Mystica would be like, here's your fantasy, here's your space one.
Right.
And then there's like, in terms of like lore, like it's, I sort of like roll my eyes at it, but there are games that are like, here's the game and then here's like the lore behind these characters, or like the lore behind the game.
I love when, you know, remember what, like, you don't see this much anymore, but like you know, like Star Trek movie would come out, like your first contact.
Yep.
And it'd be like, you see like a kid in Walmart and it's like Star Trek, the movie, the game. I miss that shit. Just like some garbage game that came out.
Yeah.
Well, those games are still coming out. They're just generally like better. Like the Dune Imperium, the artwork is,
they got little, like, pictures of Oscar Isaac.
Oh, Timothée Chalamet is...
Timothée.
he's there. Like, when you play that, like, when you are him, the artwork looks like him.
Right.
Like, it doesn't look like Paul. It looks like Timothée in the role of Paul.
Yeah. It was like when you got, like, a Lord of the Rings game around the time that Lord of the Rings came out, but they didn't have the license to, like, use the TV show, like, the movie, and you're just like, that's not what he looks like.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, like the same thing with like, well, even more recently with like Marvel video games. You're like, I'm playing as Captain America, but like, that's not the Chris I know. That's
You ain't Chris, dude. Yeah.
That's, I just had like the most insane like flash memory of when I was a kid. One of the board games that my family owned was like a Harry Potter board game that like I did not realize until years later. It was Clue. The game was Clue. But it was just Clue at Hogwarts, where you had to be like, oh, like Professor Gogsnort did it in the herbaceous potions room with
the Magorium.
Dr.
Matorium.
Yeah. But it was like, it was like, that was like, I just realized that it was like, oh, they put out this like game it was just like, this is a game that already exists and they just put Harry Potter paint on it and like release that because the movies were coming out.
They still
out.
Do that. I see. I thought you were going to talk about the Harry Potter, I don't even know if you would call it a board game, but the Harry Potter game you had where it was like, you had to get like the ball through like the hoops around the thing. There was like air shooting out. Do you remember this thing that I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
It was, I don't even know what part it was. Like, it wasn't like a Quidditch game, but it was like, you were like using like magic to like levitate.
They only had the rights to hoops and balls. Do you think, is 1313 Dead and Drive?
That game is sick.
I think games that Campbell used to own.
I think I have 1313 Dead and Drive on this bookshelf behind me.
Do they still make games that have like props and shit? Like,
so the problem
like
with
Rat
my,
Trap,
my copy of 1313 Dead and Drive is that all of the cardboard inserts to build the traps have the the bits that you like notch into
they're
the board.
They're all stuck together because you love it so much.
They're all ripped off. they made it out of shitty cheap cardboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So none of the suit of armor doesn't stand up anymore. But that was a fun game with there was a immersion to the board. It was a fine system.
Yeah.
But there was narrative to it. And I think that's why I liked that game as a kid so much, is because there was a story to tell, and you had all of your cards with the people on it where you were like, oh, look at this piece of shit.
Yeah. There's that's what's sort of the nice, like you said, there are so many board games, and there are because I think we're in that boom of people putting out tons of board games. But there are those games that will hit that theme itch. Gloomhaven is here's a story that you're going to tell. We're going to go through the campaign, and when you open a door, we're going to tell you which board you add to the door. So you don't know what this dungeon looks like until you open the door, and we tell you what the next room looks like and how it's populated. There are games that do that really well, and it's this cool sort of we're going to take what's a lot of fun about... There's different things that people get out of D&D and TTRPGs.
Yeah.
But Gloomhaven or even Mansions of Madness, they're like, okay, we're going to give you a scenario and a campaign, and then we're going to we'll be the DM, and it's going to be a dungeon crawl as you get through this house or through this area. And then Gloomhaven will link all those dungeons together with a narrative that you read through random card encounters and different things that you do in different cities. I want to purchase this stuff. I want to interact with this person. Whereas something like Mansions of Madness will be here's the scenario, here's the story, you're in this city, put out tiles A1, C2, and G4 in this scenario, and then as you open doors, it's app driven, so as you open doors, tell us which door you open, and we'll tell you what's behind the door, what monsters are there, and what the room looks like, and what tile you have to put out.
Man,
you ever play solo stuff?
App driven board game is insane.
App driven board games are really cool.
That's crazy.
And it does things the one that I've played the most is Mansions of Madness, and it really just takes a DM out of it, and it gives you we'll help you track the health of the monsters, and we'll tell you what's behind there, and you decide if you want to interact with this door, interact with that door, and it's got regular board game mechanics of how you move around, and it's going to be X amount of turns. It doesn't give you the same thing that a TTRPG does.
Right.
You can't be I don't want to open the door. I want to blow a hole in the wall.
Right. Yeah.
But it allows you it's more of a railroaded
D&D
session where it's here are all your doors. Where do you want to go? You can't break the door down, but which door do you want to open?
I think that's the thing though, where it's my big hang up of board game versus tabletop RPG is that it's I have played board games that I've enjoyed immensely. They're very fun, kind of sit down contained episodes, but it's it never affords the creative fulfillment.
Fair.
Is a thing where it's I think with tabletop wargaming, if you're you're building your dudes, you're painting your dudes, D&D the entire time you're just doing imagination, is something that is so creatively fulfilling, and it's your imagination is
100%.
Whereas board games is a thing where it's to me it feels a backup, where it's oh, we couldn't get everybody together to play D&D tonight, let's have four of us play a board game.
I can definitely understand that. To me it scratches a different itch.
Sure.
So if you want to have that sort of very that creative session where you're playing a game and you're creating the story, you're only going to get that in a TTRPG. You're only going to get that in the, we are creating the story together as we go. To me, what is the decision of, do we want to do a board game night or do we want to do a D&D night, is what do you want to get out of the night? Is it to kind of continue the story and to go the characters we want? Then let's do that. Is it, I didn't have time to prepare a session this week. I just want to play a game. Let's play this. Let's jump into this game and sort of see what we can do to who can do the best at this system. Then that's where you would go with the board game.
Yeah.
But I would say sorry.
Oh, well, it's kind of what you were saying earlier, that the board game allows you to scratch that competitive itch in a way that is this is just the conceit of what we're doing, is we're playing against each other.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, detrimental to the fun. The competitive nature of a board game isn't detrimental to the fun in the way that the competitive nature of tabletop gaming or wargaming, because like oftentimes when people get hyper competitive in wargaming, it like completely strips, even though that is a game that is inherently one-on-one,
absolutely,
you versus me, if you get too competitive with that, it does take a lot of the fun out of it, you know.
Yeah, well, in a war game,
kind of though, like that's like a problem with Warhammer in particular.
Okay. You know, yeah,
like games and games like Warhammer,
yeah,
just like having been like having like historical experience, like people in those, they do not, it does not happen. You know what I mean? I think it's like a very Warhammer specific problem.
Right.
Well, I was going to say as well, like Warhammer, unless I'm, Warhammer's one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like if one person gets knocked out, that's the end of the game.
Game's over.
Whereas you have something like, oh, like Risk is the easiest sort of like comparison. If you have something like Risk and you have four people playing, everyone understands sitting down to play Risk, it's going to end with two people playing for like an hour or two on their own.
Yeah.
And you just go like, well, when we get down to that, we just say, fuck it. Whoever wins, wins. And so there is that sort of element where you have to just like accept that this is a style of game I'm playing. And if I get knocked out early, I get knocked out early. But you could have those dicks at the table who are like, I don't care about winning, I just want to knock you out. Right. And if you decide to do that, you ruin the game. Not necessarily for everyone, but you sort of ruin the fun of the game where it's like, it's no longer who can be the best at it. It's just like, well, I guess us two are going to just build up our armies and let you guys self-immolate and like destroy.
Right. Like, because in tabletop, in like miniature wargaming and RPGs, it's very common to like mod shit, like to homebrew and like create new rules and like tinker with the game.
Yeah.
Do you do that with board games ever?
Yeah, I don't do it too much, but there's like a definitely, there's a lot of it where it's like, we're going to house rule this, or we're going to like, we don't like this rule, or like, yeah. Sometimes you interpret rules differently and you like switch things up. The thing with board games, and at least in my opinion, is like, people will home rule something because it makes the game better. And then the company will be like, oh, okay, well, here's an expansion that adopts that home rule as the way to play the game. And then we fixed up some of those reasons why you needed to home rule it in the first place. Right. So we took your suggestion, we took your feedback, we made the game better, we tightened up some other things, and now it doesn't have to be a home rule. Now it's just like, here it is, here are the
rules. I feel like every time I've ever played, and I mean, like, I haven't played Monopoly in like fucking 15 years, but every time I ever played Monopoly as a kid with someone, everybody's family has a different version of what community chest is.
Oh yeah, right. And like what you get something on free parking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
get
yeah,
nothing
yeah.
on free parking.
Yeah.
It is exactly. free, it's nothing.
Yeah.
I played Monopoly once. My family played it once and it was a complete disaster.
Yeah,
I
because it's a it because that is a bad game.
I've only
game.
Played it once in my entire life. I've never
yeah.
Monopoly is a bad game. Yeah. Monopoly is a bad game.
Yeah, of course.
My favorite is the Monopoly that I had when I was growing up was NHL Monopoly.
Nice.
Where like you bought hockey franchises instead of like Park Place or whatever, and it's like very funny. I think that game's still at my parents' place, and I was looking at it the other day, and it's like the state of the NHL in 2001 or whenever that game came out, or it's like
yeah
oh man, the Columbus Blue Jackets just showed up and were like a real hot ticket, you know, like
yeah yeah, that's funny. Yeah, there's like games definitely like sort of like change over time, but not Monopoly is definitely one of those games where they're like, screw it, we're gonna be the same game and we're just gonna slap different labels on it.
Yeah,
and every so often they come up like, they came up with like Cheaters Monopoly, where they're like, a mechanic is like, you get to like cheat and steal from the bank, and it's like, it'll speed the game up, and it's like, your game's bad and broken if the game takes too long. And the only way you can speed it up is by like allowing people to cheat. Your game is broken and your game is bad.
It's not a real game. Like Monopoly is like I imagine it was made for like dumbass suburban people in like the 50s. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's an old game, right? Like
it's an old, from my understanding, Monopoly was made by someone who was like, I'm going to show you why Monopoly and like capitalism sucks, right. And I'm gonna make a board game that tells you why capitalism sucks, and then people were just like, what a fun,
you get rich and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, people were like, what a fun game, and it's like, no, it's bad.
Yeah. Okay, so like Monopoly classic board game, Milton Bradley is like, they were the heavy hitters for, I feel like,
kids,
decades,
goats, dude.
in the board game world. Now like Fantasy Flight puts out a lot of board games.
Yes and no. Okay. Fantasy Flight's like a bit of a weird one.
They had like a decline, weren't they? Were like big stars in like the 2014.
Yeah. Time. So, yeah. But is there like in the way that like Games Workshop or Wizards of the Coast are kind of like dominating the like, you know, miniature wargaming or tabletop RPGs? Like, yeah. who's like big man on campus as far as board games?
That it's hard for me to point to like one company or one game, because it's one, like, I'm sure people have like different opinions. That's a level of like that fandom and like that the like board game community that like I haven't gotten to. But there are like, because there's like two different ways of looking at board games. There's one of like looking at designers. So like, this is my favorite designer, and he might work for like, or she might work for a bunch of different companies, but anytime they put out a game, no matter who it's with, I like them. Mm. Or you could have like, so personally, I like Stonemaier, who puts out like, they're like, they make board games, they put out a bunch of different stuff, and they're like designed by different people. So you could kind of go in one of those two routes. I don't necessarily think there's one.
Like a publisher author kind of really.
100%. 100%. So I don't think there's one that I would say is like, is winning the game right now. Because I think if you were to sort of like go back to like Board Game Geek, if you were to like look at the top 10 games, I would be surprised if like there's more than like two that are the same publisher or the same like.
It's just such a broad category of hobby that.
It's like that, like there's a lot of like outside of like Warhammer.
Yeah.
Like that's how a lot of the like wargaming like miniature space works. I fucking bought this game. It's a solo game. I was gonna ask you earlier if there's like solo board games that you do.
Oh, yeah, I've done a couple.
Because I got this game called, it's called A Billion Suns. It's like a naval, like space naval game, but it's completely solo. And I've been playing it with like quarters and pennies.
Sick. It's really fun. Fucking, someone just time traveled you from the depression to now, right?
Dude, like, it's awful because I only have like a battle fleet. Gothic fleet, so I don't have like enough varied spaceships to it. But it is. We should. Well, I guess it's a solo game, so we can't. You should play it. It's really fucking sick.
You run out of pieces, and you're like, the dreadnought's now pocket lint. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I gotta go buy a pack of cigarettes. I got change to finish this game.
That's great. But yeah, there are definitely people who are like, I will buy always from this publisher, or I'll buy from like this like designer. But I don't necessarily think there's one that's like risen above all the others to be like the de facto. Mm. But yeah, it's like personal preference. Like I said, I enjoy Stonemaier. They're the ones who've done, they did Wingspan, which despite what you said, is a really good engine building game. Sure, it's birds, and like if you don't like bird watching, whatever, it fits the theme well enough. But it's a really good engine building game.
Is everything though, like the theme is everything. I'll play bad games if the theme is cool. Come on, dude.
I know what you mean.
It
fits the theme well, and that like what it's like. Okay, you're gonna have a bird sanctuary, and you're bringing birds in.
Oh.
And yeah, so right? If you aren't interested.
Right? And the mechanics are so, they're like, you can fucking, every turn is like, you can have an egg, or you can put out food, or you can,
the worst. So, but that's totally, it's totally fair to be like, I don't like the theme to this game.
Yeah.
But I, like, the way that they've designed the game around the theme, it works. It fits, the mechanics and the things that you do fit the theme really well.
It can't be about, like, shooting the birds.
Oh, come on now.
You could easily like theme it that way. It wouldn't fit together with some of the things. Yeah. But you could be like, oh, I shot this bird when it was in the like lake, so I'm gonna put this bird in the lake.
Hear me out. Instead of raising birds, it's about arming a space marine.
You just want to take your humans and you want to make them as good as possible on the world and space stage.
Yeah.
How do you have fun without space marines, Thomas?
It's hard. But yeah, like, so like they put out Wingspan. They did Scythe, which is a game that I really enjoy, and I feel like you would probably enjoy
Wheat.
No,
it's got robots, dude.
It's robots.
Oh, it's that game. It's like that.
I was gonna say you would like this theme. It's like
I know that one. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a slightly different, like
World War One kind
of. Yeah, like World War One. They had like mechs, and this is, we're coming out of World War One, and like, how do we recolonize like Europa is like part of it.
So it is about wheat.
yeah, okay. There is, there you do yeah, every so often you're like, yeah, I'm gonna take this farmland so I can like generate food for my like
mech fight, or is it just like an artistic trapping?
Oh no, you can fight with the mechs.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But they put out like a bunch of games, and like I like it because like there is effort put into the games. Like the artwork is always stunning. The quality of the board, the quality of cards is always like really high. They put effort into like the pieces that they make, and it's not like you open the game and you're like, oh, all these components feel like junky.
Mm.
Like even if even the board you're playing on, you're like, oh, like this feels good. This has like a weight to it. The wooden pieces fit into the recesses into this board perfectly. Like
it's, right,
they just put that little bit of like extra effort in.
That's the mini analog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you probably love a well designed, well constructed, yeah, like product. Like everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
100%.
I respect that.
Yeah. Hit me with real quick. I am actually very curious about solo board games. What the fuck's up with that?
So there's what they're doing a lot now with like the board games they're releasing, and this is, I haven't necessarily gotten a board game that's like you can only play alone, but a lot of the board games they're releasing, they're like, oh, we're gonna have like a one player solo mode where we will automate a other person and you essentially like play against the board. And so there are some games where the automated person is like you are going towards the same goal where it's like this person will play like a player, which I would say is similar to I guess like Dune Imperium as a one person mode where like it'll play like a player, it'll take up spaces on the board. Or you'll have other games where it's like you're going to use the same mechanics but you're going to try to get as many points as possible within six turns. So the board, the game that will automate will take away cards, will take away spaces, will take away resources. And within those constraints, you want to get as many points as possible. It's something that like Ark Nova does, which is like a newer board game where you're like trying to build a zoo. It's something that like that idea is like get as many points as possible in like X amount of turns.
The Matt Damon board game.
Yeah, I can't be building no zoo.
we built a zoo.
So the guy who made Stargrave and Frostgrave has a game called Rangers of Shadowdeep.
Okay.
Which is a cooperative, you play like a ranger and like you do ranger shit, investigate stuff, but it's all pre-written and procedural generated shit, and it's co-op. It's like you two playing as like a band of rangers against the board, but you can also play it like single player. Like that kind of shit is fucking awesome. I think like that is kind of where like a mini war game and a board game kind of like the line begins to blur, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, where is, like, is it literally just like, sometimes it's just like the fact that there's not a physical, like it's just the fact that there's a terrain board,
right?
Rather than like a fold out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's like, you're playing like that game is played with like maybe like six miniatures. You know what right. I mean? Which is yeah. like, that could come, that's Gloomhaven. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah. 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 Yeah.
Well, even like we brought up Spirit Island before, but like to me, Spirit Island is easily one of my favorite games because it hits so many of those marks so well. The theme is great.
Yeah,
the theme works. When you're playing your turns, it feels right. Everyone plays as a different spirit on the island, and each character board has its own powers that fit the role. If you are the volcano spirit, as you're building up power throughout the game, and you know you're gonna have one round where you will like essentially erupt and do a huge damage around you, and it feels like you are a volcano blowing up on an island. Like it hits it perfectly.
That's one that I really appreciate. Like that, like Spirit Island, Twilight Imperium. I have like, we played Fortune and Glory.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Those like games with the player cards where it's like, that is a thing that adds novelty to the game where you can replay the game again and again, but based on whatever character you are, there's a different strategy to approaching the game. You have different abilities. Pandemic's like that as well, right?
Yep.
Where it's like based on whatever like card you get, you have to,
you know what's interesting,
beat
to
the
about,
pandemic
about
differently
that, like about like you know, you play a game and you get the card, like the Last Night on Earth game is like that
too. Yeah,
like you're the fucking cheerleader. It's funny thinking about that and scrutinizing that in relation to tabletop role-playing games, because like I've seen people role play harder with those pre-prescribed like you're the hunk in the
than they
do with their like background character, like that they spend and they don't really know how to act with it in a role playing game, which like goes to show that like it's kind of a tangent and a side thing.
But, yeah,
like, restrictions work for role playing. Like, you know,
I agree.
I agree with you. I do think that in some regards, it's the thing where it's just like, well, everybody knows what a high school jock acts like. Nobody knows what a tiefling rogue acts like. Well, you know, like there is real world kind of like things that you could base that off of when you're playing Last Night on Earth in a way that like, you know, D&D is like a much grander scale.
I guess,
and like,
but if like
more
I
abstracted,
I think there is something there. But like, if you're playing Pandemic, and it's like,
yeah,
it's like your doctor is into this and like is good at this, yeah, and is bad at this, and people kind of like get into that vibe, and they start joking around about like, I'm gonna do this because like the lady is, she's weird, she's wacky, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
is like honestly, like that level of like soft role playing is like more than some people ever manage at like a role-playing game.
Totally. Like, yeah.
Well, like you said, the restrictions help. Like if you're playing D&D and you're like, the world is your oyster, you're like, okay, well, I think I want to be this and maybe I'll play this. Whereas like, okay, we're going to play D&D, but it's going to be pirate themed. Then you're like, oh, okay, great. I'm going to be...
We're pirates, I like, and I'll base my guy off of it. Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to, okay, pirate. Okay, I'm going to be like a fisherman, or I'm going to be like someone who like makes boats and like, I'm going to be the chef on the boat. And it's like, the because cooks. You've got
the cooks and the scuppers and the staggers and janks.
Like, who are pirates? I like, as if everyone has a roster of pirates that they're into.
Yeah. Johnny Depp, the guy,
Blackbeard.
I am the captain now.
But yeah, I do think there's something to be said where it's like restriction on role playing helps because it helps you to like focus in on who you are.
Hey, it helps you to pay attention.
Yeah. And you can do the same thing with a general open theme.
It's also everything that we've been saying about board games, like in terms of like board games that are about like tone and board games that are about like a concept or like a general vibe.
Yeah.
Work like when they hit that, they work better. And I think it's the same thing with like role-playing games, where it's like if you have a specific like we're gonna do a nautical thing or we're gonna do an urban adventure or this is gonna be largely like exploratory into like deserts and ruins and shit, it gives a little bit more of like a tone that people can play into as opposed to just like general wide scale like medieval city to other like fucking like where like hitting tone in your game design is like incredibly important.
It's the most important thing.
Yeah, and to me that's what makes like a good DM and a bad DM is it's like if you're going to create a character, a good DM will ask you the questions to make you hone in and understand your character. Whereas like I won't say a bad DM, but let's say a new DM will be like, which character are you? Cool. Who are you? Great. Here's the setting I created. It's like if you really want to sort of like create that narrative, go into them and be like, okay, we're going to have a session zero and one-on-one, let's create your character. Because I want you to start thinking in certain ways of what your character is and what their backstory is.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. You can't like open cast. I got a question about the lizard real quick. Once again, there's a lizard in the room. So they need the heat to survive.
Yeah.
At nighttime, do you turn the heat lamp on?
Yeah.
How does it survive? Oh, because it's like nighttime.
It's nighttime.
Like it's nighttime in the world.
Yeah.
Sun goes away.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Sorry.
That's great.
I had very specific instructions about like times to turn the lamps on and off. And my sister...
Keeping him up late? He's been partying?
Yeah. Well, no, my sister has like a timer for the lamps, but in like at the timer is set up to a different lamp at her house. And these are the travel lamps. And I was like, I don't want to be bothered figuring out technology. Just give me the normal lamps and I'll just manually turn it on and off. I wasn't thinking. So I was hungover as all hell. I got home at 4 a.m. and I had to wake up at 7 to turn this lamp on. And then I went,
that's great.
And then I went back to bed.
Oh, that's
for another like 4 hours.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. you're a good pet sitter.
I should have just taken the timer though.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you fucked up the moment you said, no, I'll do this myself.
Like, I'm a man. I can turn it off and on.
What do I need technology for? It's just a switch.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I'm with you people always on your technology.
I don't know how much, like, I don't really have a whole lot more about board games.
Yeah, no, I will, I like,
think we got a pretty good base.
I think so. I think there's like definitely like, because both of you are into like tabletop games and war games and role playing games, I think that there's a board game that you would enjoy. Oh, I'm not saying you have to go and like find it,
dude. Like, it's just like, it's a way of life. Like, I could only choose one, because like I had like, my case in point is like, there's a, I forget the name of it, but it's like a Cold War game. Like, one person plays the United States, one person plays Twilight something.
Oh, yeah. It's I think I know which game you're talking about. Twilight Struggle.
Yeah. And so I was like in Meeple Mart. Damn, he's moving again. I was in Meeple Mart, like buying Warhammer shit, and then like I look over and it's like this game, and I'm like, that looks fucking sick. So I bought it. And I brought it home, and my girlfriend at the time, I was like, you want to play this historical?
She was like very into like, let's all have board game nights.
Yeah. And I was like, have I got a board game
for
you?
They were very light board game nights. Yeah. It was like, we're going to drink wine and cheese and maybe roll a couple of dice.
Exactly. And I came home one-on-one. Okay, you're going to be the USSR, and I'm going to be. And she's like very nicely indulged me and played this game with me. And I was like, ha, I win. I have deployed the Contra card and sponsored death squads in Venezuela. And she's like, ha, this is fun. And I'm like, and I was like, I'm never going to play this game again. And then I carted it around with me for like years and years and never played again. Cause I would always be like, hey, you want to come over to like people and play this game? And everyone's like, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like fun. But like, and then like, yeah. So then I eventually just like moved and I was like, no, I have to get rid of it. So I like sold it on like Facebook Marketplace. And that's why, fuck board games, dude. Like,
that's so Twilight. So I haven't played Twilight Struggle, but it's also like one of the like top rated board games out there.
It's so good. Really good.
It's supposed to be great.
It does a great job of delivering the theme and the like historical flavor in its mechanics. And there's a pre-World War II version where you can play. There's three players. One plays as the democracies, one plays as the Axis, and one plays as the Soviet Union.
That's great.
Yeah. If only you had two girlfriends to disappoint. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like I think it's one of those things where it's like there's so many board games out there, but there's definitely something that like Campbell, you like min-maxing.
I try to deny it, but
he's a recovering min-maxer.
I'm in like, min-max rehab.
You enjoy min-maxing. You enjoy optimizing. You enjoy like asymmetrical play. There's so many board games you would be like, this is what I enjoy.
It's the Japanese in me. I just love efficiency.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. But yeah, there's definitely like board games out there. But like, as you were saying, there's just like, you walk into a board game store and you're like, what the hell is this? Like, there's just rows and rows of games I've never heard of before. Like, I there are my minis, there are my paints. I know that game.
That is my biggest thing when I walk into, like, I go to 401 Games and there's like 1,000 shelves of board games that everyone's looking at, and I'm like, you don't see this Hive Tyrant over here?
You don't see
the Space Marines? Are you kidding me right now?
These like, fucking sheeple. It's like, yeah, they live and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's great.
We usually, like, yeah, we're going to wrap things up here.
Sure. We had
bring it on home.
Name.
We're over an hour, baby. Holy, not by much.
We must have a third more time.
Yeah.
Just three of us.
Oh. Yeah.
The Twilight Struggle World War II game. Three players. There's three guys right here.
I'm happy to play whenever you want.
Play today.
I'm into it.
except we're only going to play with quarters and pennies. Yeah. So we wrap things up with like hobby progress, hobby goals. Thomas,
the big, no.
Well, I don't know. Have you been doing any? I know you like been running a campaign with your cousins and shit.
I was going to say, you just want to like brag that you finally finished the Gloomhaven.
I'm not saying shit. We're ripping on you about the Gloomhaven minis. 9 months later, finally getting painted.
The saga is at its end.
Yeah,
I had this theory today where I was like, I'm gonna surprise Thomas. I was like, I'm gonna I'm going to put them all in their little boxes that they came in. And at the end, when we get to Hobby Progress, Hobby Goals, I'm going to be like, Thomas, look. And we were going to do a live unboxing. And then I realized this is an audio medium. And that would be horrible content.
Once we get the Patreon set up and we get the cameras, bro.
Nobody wants to listen to you be like, oh, this one looks good.
Wow, neat.
Oh, this one also looks good.
he's opening the box.
Yeah.
Yeah,
finished those fucking minis. I finished the fucking minis, and I also started painting my Stargrave dudes, and they look
sick,
dope as hell.
They do look dope as hell.
They look great.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah,
I was gonna make a joke at some point and be like, the only reason I'm here is to get the minis. Like, I'm only here to collect on the Gloomhaven minis.
Dude, yeah, I got progress, dude. I finished 1,000 points painted, Warmaster.
Sick.
Me and Collie played, and it was fucking, so awesome. And I did built those True Scale Terminators. They look tight, and I'm building the second 5 Marines for the True Scale Marines.
They look those. Roll, that Marine army looks so fucking cool, dude.
It's my favorite thing that I've ever done with Warhammer. It's so sick.
Yeah.
Shout out 3D printing. Shout out Bolter Yugen on Instagram. Best files in the game, best STLs in the game, dude. So awesome.
So you've been D&D-ing or anything?
Yeah, well, I haven't played in like 4 or 5 months, and I've got a session with my cousins for like Monday.
Nice.
And we're gonna wrap up this like four session one shot wraps up on Monday. Looking forward to it. It's been a while. Yeah, other than that, like, I'm probably playing some like board games on Tuesday, scratching that itch. That's the hobby update. Oh, and I can finally finish my Gloomhaven Jaws of the Lion like solo run through now that I got the minis back.
Did you just like not play that game for like 9 months?
Yeah, correct.
There was a pandemic on. Who are you playing that game with?
Dude, 9 months ago was not like lockdown.
Yeah. It was also, I was like doing a solo run. I was like, it's a pandemic. I'll do like a solo run on this guy.
Now I feel bad.
You should.
But they look great.
Oh, they look great. Yeah.
That one broad's got the orb. Woo.
Yeah. Gotta paint those orbs.
Hobby goals. I want to, I'm trying to think. We've been, it's hard to hobby goals because like we haven't been recording as, regularly.
No, we're in the red right now.
Well, I mean, it's a thing where it's like, it's the same with like hobby in general and podcasts. It's like, it's summertime. I don't want to be like inside painting little dudes. I want to go to a park and, you know, hang out, and I want to go to the beach and shit. So I think like now that it's fall, hobby goal number one, record pod more often.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Hobby goal number two, I want to get, I don't know if I am going to be able to get this entire Stargrave force painted by the next time we record. It's 10 minis. It's not that much.
You can do that. You can do that for sure. If you put your mind to it, you can do it.
I think what I really want to do is like the captain, the robot, and the first mate. I really want to put some like fine attention to detail work in them. So I want to get
the first mate the Psyker-y kind of.
No. The Psyker is the slave that they captured and are using as an astropath. No, I get
that guy's awesome. But like, yeah. With the staff?
No, the first mate is like the Dark Eldar dude with the, like, he's got the striking scorpion's claw and the sword.
Oh, that guy fucking rocks.
Oh, and he looks great.
He looks like such a smarmy fucking like condescending Dark Eldar piece of shit.
I do that's gonna be my goal too, is actually like I'm building Marines, but I gotta finish painting my Stargrave.
Yeah, so yeah, my thing, I want to get all of the like rank and file normal dudes of my Stargrave painted by the next time we record. So I'll have like kind of like my paint scheme and like my process down by that time. And then after we record next, I'll do the character guys.
Sweet. Good goal.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
All right. You got cocked.
We're on Instagram.
At cocked pod.
I'm at bugs. I hate bugs.
At born to raise hell.
Number 2.
Number 2.
Yeah.
Send us money.
You got a good like hobby Instagram too, eh?
Oh yeah, I've got one. I can't remember what the handle is. I think it's like at I need a bigger table.
That's the one.
Is where I got some like board game shit.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. DM me. Talk some shit.